Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Chat of the Wild. In this season, we're playing through The Legend of Zelda, A Link Between Worlds. In this episode, we have the final dungeon before the final... I don't know. The final castle, which will end up being a dungeon, but the final sort of thing. I've been doing these intros for years. You would have thought I'd just be able to land it every time at this point, but no, it's fine. It's fine, though. It's fine.
I think you're doing really well, Jeremy.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
In the last episode, we did Turtle Rock, freed Impa, and left us some more exploring to do. As I said, we all welcome that for sure. Did you all collect all the Mimis?
Not all of them.
No, I'm saving that for after this. I'm saving it for my last hurrah before I go to my doom.
Okay. I'll wait till the next episode to talk about it then.
I mean, okay, fine. Okay.
Well, we'll do. Yeah.
I mean, you can talk about it. I mean, because I might not.
Are you all right? You're
flicking the baby.
Maybe. Super spin dash. Super spin move. Oh, I guess. Yeah. Or what do you ever call it? I said spin.
Great. Isn't it called like the Great Sword Spin?
The Great Sword Spin.
Something like that.
Why don't spin dash? That's Sonic.
Yeah, I mean, that'd be great. I mean, honestly, yeah. Sonic seems to have crossed over with every other franchise that I really wouldn't be surprised.
I mean, there was a Zelda map in Sonic Lost Worlds on Wii U.
Of course there was.
But no. You get a super spin move in this one. When you collect all the Mimis, what it does, you charge it up, and then you actually get to see a circle around you of how big it's going to be when you do it. So you actually get the sort of area effect that you're going to get on that there. So it's cool. It's good, powerful move. We haven't really talked about that. In previous Zelda games, the spin move actually is the most powerful sword move for a lot of the Zelda games. Mm-hmm. And so a strategy for fighting bosses, if you're playing, like, say you're playing a run where you're not going to get any extra hearts or something like that, you're just going for a difficult thing, you always want to go for the spin move because that's going to give you more damage. And I believe that's the case with this as well. I instinctively use the spin move constantly in this game. I haven't talked about it at all.
I don't think I've used it once.
Yeah, that's just because it's a strategy for a lot of people that have, like, you know, they try to replay various Zelda games with varying difficulties because the Zelda games aren't really that difficult on their own. But any other exploring that we need to talk about before we head up to the mountain, though?
You can think of. I mean,
I attempted Treacherous Tower level 3. I got to, like, the final floor, and then I died. Yeah. And I'm like, you know what? It's not worth it. I would, but it's not worth it.
Is that the lantern? Is that what you're going for? Or the...
It's either the lantern or the upgraded bug
it's
net.
It's just so bad. It's such a bad reward, isn't it?
It's not really worth it.
It's so bad.
That
should have
been the reward for, like, the Kuko Dodge game. Like, that's not for the Treacherous Tower.
Yeah, it should have been a heart piece, at least. Another bottle.
Well, the middle one is a heart piece, so...
I would say, if you're talking about the Treacherous Tower, when you finish that should have been, like, the super spin move.
Yeah.
Something like that. Like some sort of powerful attack.
Or your final sword upgrade.
Or like the hurricane spin from like Wind Waker. Yeah. Something like that.
Yeah. Something offensive. Cool. Offensive base. Yeah. They should have given us something offensive.
Yeah. Just like a.
just like the things Jonathan says that I cut out of the show all the time.
Just like that. And like all of those.
You don't really. I'm just going to cut the whole chunk out. I'm not. Yeah, what are you talking about?
I'm not even a guest on this series. Man.
Yeah, there's still plenty of heart pieces for us to go and find if we need it. I counted, I believe there are 5 more for me to find. Mm. But I think I'm good.
Yeah.
I think I'll be, once we get through with this dungeon, I'll be ready to just get to the castle and save Zelda and save the world.
Yeah, I think I've got, I think I'll be 1 heart container shy, so whether or not I need all 4 or just 3 or whatever, but...
Okay. And, well, it's more just like you get to this point that if I wasn't keeping track early on of the ones that I did, I don't want to look through a guide of being like, here's where all the heart pieces are, because I could be like, did I get that one? I'm going to spend an hour just hitting up each little spot just to see.
Yeah,
I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
God, that takes me back to Tears of the Kingdom and finding the Stone Talus fights where I thought I'd done them all. I'd gone through, I'd marked them all, I checked them all off, and there's like 80 of those, and they're all over the place, and then I hadn't, and then I went back and checked them all, and I was still missing one.
That's why, those games...
It was a long time.
Do
not do checklists for those games. You just can't. It's just...
I did them all in the end. I did everything in the end.
But look at you. You are lamenting it, though, right now. About
I'm
the time.
Lamenting that one.
That one. Yeah.
Did you do the Koroks, though? That's the important thing, because that's the worst thing to checklist. I did all the Koroks in Tears of the Kingdom, and I'm not going to do that again.
No.
Like,
my friend Casper did them all, and he claims he had a good time doing it.
Glutton for punishment, he is.
Maybe. He had a good workflow. I remember seeing his workflow. He had a laptop, Switch, and also a newborn baby as well. so it was impressive more than anything else.
Those kind of things, I just don't. Here's the thing. I am so glad that Nintendo doesn't have trophies or achievements. Because if they did, I would need to get every trophy in a Zelda game. I'm just playing through the Arzette Jewel of Faramore. I have to get all the trophies on that one, just because that is my addiction on there. I am a trophy hunter. But thankfully, they don't do that in the Zelda games for any Nintendo stuff, and so I don't have that need to get to do 100% completion on that. So let's head up to Death Mountain.
Oh my goodness.
Now, Jonathan, you seem to have some stories. Hopefully
it took me so long. I just couldn't find my way. I just couldn't get up there. It took me so long.
I want to kind of know what happened. Like what how did you get into it?
I'd go up near the area and I'd try and get in, couldn't. I'd go to like the other world version of it and was like, can't find a warp. Everything I tried, I was just like, I just don't know how to get into this area.
Well, obviously you eventually found it.
I can't remember how, but
did you look up some help or anything?
No, I didn't. Okay. No. I think, do you have to do that mad drop thing through the lava thing again, because I'd done that already, and I was like, so in my mind I think I was like, well, I've done that, so I've got whatever's on the other side of it, but I hadn't.
No, see,
because I needed to do that, so I inevitably was like, oh, I guess I'll go and try it, because I found it
is
pain.
Yeah
It is a strange way to lay this stuff out, because it is platforming in this game, but it's using you're falling. You're platforming, but you're trying to fall with style.
Platfalling.
But if you do go and get down to the bottom, you can activate one that is just sort of a shortcut platform. So when you come back to it, you can just wait, and that platform will come to you, and it'll just take you down to the bottom. So you don't technically have to go through it twice unless you want to then go and get all of the heart pieces and all the Mai-Mais, because then if you want to do all that stuff, you do have to take multiple detours in that inside cave.
No, it's not fun. Thing. I won't do it.
I think which is worse, that one or navigating the ice version of it with the slippery platforms?
Don't remember that.
So you must have gone right through that one. Because if you go on the dark side, instead of it being one, it's dark.
Well, that was fine.
Yeah. So you preferred the ice one then.
Yeah. I hate ice. I hate everything.
All of
his
drinks at room temperature.
Yeah, honestly, man.
Go for a hot Pepsi any day.
No.
You know what? The other day, I didn't realize that this hotel I was staying in Denmark, they had like a cold tap. And you know how water coolers will often have like a sort of, you know, room temperature and ice cold tap, like,
sure,
option. That's what I thought these two taps were. All right, I thought it was like an ice cold and like a room temperature. I made myself a coffee, and they didn't have any dairy free milk for me to put a dash in. I was like, I'm just going to put a little drop of water in here just to cool it down so I can drink it a bit quicker. And I saw ice cold, and I thought, no, just room temperature. Did that. Lovely stuff. Sparkling water.
Okay.
I had
sparkling water on tap,
hot bubbly coffee.
Okay.
Do you know
I was going to say, that probably isn't terrible.
It was pretty cool. It was all right.
You're the cool
it was
kid
all right.
over there.
If it was like, don't get me wrong, like I wouldn't like put like an espresso machine with a soda stream.
Yeah.
That would be mad. But just a little bit of soap, ooh, just a little, ooh. I beg your pardon. Like at the end of it, it's like, ooh, good morning to you, sir. And it might be the Danish way. I don't know. It's not. I do know. I know that it's not. But hey, if it happens to you,
no one, Jonathan won't shame you, that's for sure.
No. Oh.
So back to the game. So we've talked about this mountain before. We've gone up here. There's the Lynels up here. They should be less of a problem for us at this point now. We have a stronger tunic, a stronger sword. If we feel the need to fight them, they shouldn't be too bad, right?
I guess that's a good place to use your shield. Mm-hmm. Block their fire.
Now with your magic shield, yeah.
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 There we go. Didn't do that, but...
Could have.
Could have.
This one, it's... Again, like Jonathan was saying, you do have to navigate a lot of stuff before you can even go into the void to go to the other side and be in the dark world to then see that Death Mountain is covered in ice in their world. So I can't even remember exactly where the spot is. But I do know you have to go through the dropping down on the platforms inside of the volcano and all of that stuff.
Yeah.
But once it should be like, once you get out of there, once you get to the bottom south area of it, you come out of that entrance, explore around a little bit, you'll see the portal over there. You go through that. Everything's ice. Hilda chimes in, explains all that stuff to you. What I liked about this in the ice section is we do come across a bunch of those ice gargoyle statues. But if you use the fire rod, they just melt immediately.
It's really satisfying, isn't it?
It is.
It's really great. Because otherwise they can be a pain.
Yeah.
Those guys can, they can be really strong. You have to hit them a bunch with your sword or anything else. But you get that fire rod out and literally, I mean, like you would assume, you just melt them away. Mm-hmm. Anything else to talk about before we enter the dungeon?
I thought the you know, like half the fun is getting here. Half the stress was getting here. That's not even true because honestly, I'd totally forgotten what this dungeon was going into it.
Same.
This was all just fresh to you. Yeah. Even for you, Dennis, you're the expert.
Well,
here.
I remembered this dungeon and I thought I had fond memories of it. I'd no longer have fond memories of this dungeon.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's take a break. When we get back, we'll dig deeper into our minds to see what we remember from this.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code Spotify for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
We're back. We are entering the ice ruins. I said in the previous episode that the Turtle Rock, I spent probably the most time in it up to that point. This one's comparable because in the same way that I got like confused on like what I was supposed to do there, seeing your guys' reaction to this, it was justified that I got confused in this.
It was, I mean, like I said about Turtle Rock not really feeling like a final dungeon, this does. This really does. This feels like by far the biggest, most confusing, most treacherous, most annoying, everything. It's like as soon as I got in there and I saw the map, was like I had to, like there was floors going off the bottom of the screen. I was like, oh, and they're all going to be slippery.
No, they're not all slippery. Like there are some things that I was expecting to be in this dungeon, like a block pushing puzzle where you had to push a block in all different ways to get somewhere.
Love those.
I hate those. And I was so glad that they weren't here. But it's also weird because you can get the boss key like first. Mm-hmm. You can walk into like the second room, take the elevator all the way down, get the boss key, and you're just like, okay, well, that check that off. I've got the boss key. Now I just got to find the door. But finding the door, that's the challenge.
Yeah, there's so much. There's so much in this, and it's all really hard as well. It's tricky. There's a lot of falling off. There's a lot of damage. There's a lot of, so much ugh.
I mean, given that we are in an ice dungeon here, our main rod that we use, or our main weapon that we use, is the fire rod for this stuff. But we also have, at some point, ice platforms that we need to use the fire rod to hit a lantern. Mm-hmm. But if you use the fire rod, it will start to melt the platform you're on.
If only I had a more powerful lantern.
Oh,
said that no one.
It wouldn't do anything. You'd be able to see yourself better as you're falling down the endless pit.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true. That's true. Yeah.
But one thing we do get in here that is very helpful is the extension for our Ravio Point bar, our magic bar.
Finally.
Yeah.
Finally, at the very end. Although, think about how frustrating it would have been early on, I guess, for us, right?
Yeah.
Like, what if we did this one first?
This just, like, sets the precedent.
Oh my god, yeah.
It would have been like, man, this game, I don't know if we're going to be able to make it through this one, guys.
If I ever play this game again, which I probably will one day, maybe, mm-hmm. I will do this dungeon first.
Just to get it out of the way?
Yes. Absolutely.
Valid.
Horrid.
Also, getting the extra magic points is really also nice, that. Too.
Yeah.
What's... Yeah. It's funny because in order to get it, it's hidden in this chest that you have to use the very maximum of your magic points to reach as you stick to the wall and you go along the backside of it. Because like if the first time I did it, it was not enough and I fell. And I was like, oh, I need to like really be at the edge before I go 2D and wrap around on this thing.
It's a nice touch.
Yeah. So once you get that, then it doesn't quite double, maybe like a 30% on there or something like that.
Something like that, yeah.
A generous inch.
Very welcomed, though. But yeah, this dungeon really throws things off because you will go and hit a switch and then you will see the floor behind you sink down and flip and move to a completely different spot. And you're just like, I don't know what I just did. I'm not... You know, you have, there's no logic in that. You're like, I press a button, this puzzle box does a thing. That's all I can really say.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, there was a lot of sort of just staring at the screen and just being like, okay, well, what do I need to do to go backwards to be able to get to this? This is where I was actually really hoping I had a scoot fruit on me. I didn't, but I was thinking, I was like, if I could just go back to the beginning of the dungeon, then I should be able to reach this one platform that I did. And I didn't have it on me. So it was like, I don't know any other way to get to the beginning without dying, I guess. I guess that would have been the only other option.
So, with that, I thought of this dungeon as like, I think of like typical like 3D Zelda dungeons, I guess, where like if you quit out of the game, it'll load you to the beginning of the dungeon.
Yeah,
I thought I softlocked myself. So I'm like, I'll just quit out so I can start at the beginning of the dungeon and, you know, just go back to where I am. No. All my progress of that dungeon got deleted, and I had to do the entire dungeon over again.
Oh, Dennis.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no.
You silly, silly boy.
Yeah.
You thought you had it easy now.
I thought I did. I was wrong.
Oh, man.
You silly boy.
Yeah.
Oh no.
I mean, Jonathan, you have made enough noises to share how you feel about this dungeon, I feel like, but
yeah,
any
other
things
horrid.
You want to say?
I just hated it. It wound me up. Okay. I've got nothing. I mean, like, the design of it is brilliant, and I think the ambition of the design of doing something of this scale in a game of this size is absolutely extraordinary. But maybe it was just I was playing it and I was tired. I mean, I'm always tired because
you're old.
Because I'm old. Old and cold. Dead inside. But it's... but yeah, it took me a long time. I got confused. I got lost. I thought... At one point, I thought it was going to get even more confusing because there's a bit where, like, where you have to sort of, like... rotate some of the ledges to sort of make the platforms. You can see the ledges going down before it sort of then you rotate it and then it forms like a platform across to like the boss to the boss room. I thought there was going to be more going on with like rotating all of these paths and these platforms, and I was going to have to like manage that in like 3D, and I was like, there's no way I'm going to be able to do that. Fortunately, that wasn't a thing. But yeah, I was very glad to get to the end of it, I'll be honest.
Yeah, that makes sense. we do. I mean, yeah, like looking back at it, like I didn't feel the stress, but it was because I got what I've been asking for, right? Like, you know, so many of these dungeons, I'm like, yeah, we just went right through it. And I was just like, okay, I'm really having to think about this stuff, because like puzzle games are one of my favorite types of games. Like I've said so many times where like, I just want like an open world puzzle game, like something like The Witness. Witness is one that I still hold as like one of my favorite games. I want those kinds of puzzles and like having to think that way. I think the problem was I haven't had to think that way in this game. And so I didn't tune my mind to that. And so I ended up just being like, what am I supposed to do here? I don't understand. And it was more just like, if I was paying attention as I was doing it, it probably would have clicked in better.
Yeah.
We do have a mini boss in this one with a giant Pengator, which they are like the demon penguin guys. And there's basically a giant, like the king Pengator, and then the little ones. You just got to hit him with your sword. That's really all you got to do. You just got to survive. They're sliding around doing all this. Although if you use your fire rod, also very quick way to dispatch them.
Yeah, I backed myself into a corner for that, and I just spammed my sword, and they all died really fast. And I was like, thank you, buddy. Yay.
There you go.
Just sat there spamming your sword.
Mm-hmm. And they just kept walking into it, and it's like, yay, easy cheese. Let's
just
go.
Just kept walking into it. Mm-hmm. Man. Well,
Jonathan.
Hello, mate. I don't know how you guys feel about Eagle Tower in Link's Awakening, but that's always been my bogey dungeon in that game.
Oh, one of my favorites. It's one of my favorites.
and probably because it's like it's got some head scratching to do in it, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I feel that Ice Ruins will always be the bogey for me in this game, I think.
Okay. Yeah, no, I love Eagle Tower. Like when I did the randomizer a year ago, 2 years ago, something like that of it, and Eagle Tower was like just so much fun to figure out, even with the situation I was in where I'm like, do I even have enough to do what I need to do in this dungeon? So that was really fun.
I remember when I first played that on the Game Boy, I used the map warp glitch that was in the game.
Yeah.
Because I just couldn't figure it out. And then when I heard that they'd fixed that glitch for Link's Awakening DX, I genuinely thought, well, I'm not going to be able to complete the game then. Or like, actually, you know what? No, it was more arrogant than that. They've made the game unwinnable. Because I was like,
why would they do that?
Why would they do that? Why would they do that? That was the only way you could beat that. Yeah.
I love the idea that you thought the glitch was part of the game. Like, you know, when we're kids and we don't know better, we're just sort of like, this is how you play the game.
Yeah.
Link has this ability that he goes through walls.
Yeah. Why not? And takes some of the
items
and things.
Yeah. You know, when Link goes ghost.
Exactly. Yeah.
So eventually we struggle our way through this dungeon. We get to a door and we have a key in our hands. So we open this door and this is where we fight Dark Stare. Now I'm going to spell this out for you. DHARKSTARE.
Yeah, Dark Stare.
Dark Stare.
Yeah.
Very cool. But they don't say the names in this. Like, I love that when the Zelda game, you go up there and it just shows that. Even better when it has some subtext under it of like, describing what the local
genius
call it.
Something. Yeah. Dark Stare.
Dark Stare. This one, at this point, I mean, I think we struggled enough that this one, we barely have anything to say about it. He's covered in ice. We melt the ice on him, and then we can hit him with our sword. Wish there was more to say about this, but
it's cool. I like the design of it.
It is
like
a fun boss.
It reminded me of the final boss of Link's Awakening, with that sort of like formless sort of mass with an eye.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. I like that.
But who is this one? Who is this person we save?
Rosso.
Rosso. I think there's a Rosso. I think it's an O. So Ross O.
It's Rosso.
At this moment, my mic cut out, and Jonathan did a great job of carrying the show for a few minutes.
Rosso is a character from A Link Between Worlds. He is the local miner of Hyrule and has his own ore mine, from my own memory. He can normally be found, from what I remember, he can normally be found within his home, which can be found in northern Hyrule. It is west of Death Mountain and east of the Lost Woods. And continuing on from my own memory, Rosso appears to be a good friend of the blacksmith. As within the game, he asks Link to say hi to the blacksmith for him twice. Once, I believe, after he gives Link the power glove. And another, after Link has said... Oh, he's gone! It wasn't that bad, was it? It wasn't that bad a bit, was it?
No.
Oh, God.
And I'm back.
Oh, I thought you just got fed up of my nonsense.
So after we defeat Darkstair...
Darkstair...
We save Rosso, and he lends us his power, and that opens up in the sacred chamber that we're in, that we can then go up the stairs and finally get our last little piece of power. So for the next episode, we're finishing the game. Collect all you can, get all the heart pieces you care for, power up your sword if you haven't yet. Get all those Mai-Mais, get that spin move, and then beat the game. And then we will meet back here and talk about it on Chat of the Wild.
Flip, yeah!
Yeah!